Will you turn to Lamentations 3, please? Lamentations 3. Last Sunday we did Jeremiah's disappointment with his calling. And this is sort of like Jeremiah's epilogue. So this is from the book of Lamentations. But it takes it in a different direction than what we did last Sunday. There's more hope in this one. There is a song that we sang, the second last one this morning, that pretty well turns our whole text into song. I'm impressive. Lamentations is written anonymously, which is true of most of the Bible, but Jewish tradition always believed it was from Jeremiah, and it sounds a lot like Jeremiah. And it was certainly written by someone who saw firsthand and experienced the same things as Jeremiah. So we will assume that. Even if it was written by somebody else, it's still part of God's guidance. But we had pretty good reasons to think it was Jeremiah. There are five chapters in Jeremiah, and the first one is an acrostic. That means that there are 22 verses. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 verses. And in chapter 1, verse 1 begins with the Hebrew A, and verse 2 begins with the Hebrew B, and the first letter of verse 3 is the Hebrew C, and so on, for 22 verses. Some of the Psalms are like that too. If you see something that has a number 22, it's probably an acrostic. Do you like to do that? Chapter 2 is also an acrostic. 22 verses, each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter 3 is 66 verses. There are three verses beginning with the Hebrew A, verses 1 to 3, and then verses 4 to 6 begin with the Hebrew B, and so on, I'm running out of math, but you know how that goes. 7 to 9 would be the Hebrew C, and so on, 66 verses. So it's an acrostic, but three verses each letter. Chapter 4 is also an acrostic, but it's 44 verses. Two verses for each letter of the alphabet. And chapter 5 has 22 verses, but he gave up on the alphabet thing. Just 22 verses. That was as far as he could get that day. Which means that our text, in the middle of chapter 3, and sort of in the first half of chapter 3, is deliberately placed in the center of the book. There's careful poetry built into Lamentations. It's not just rambling, though it sounds like just an outpouring of the soul. It is not. It is crafted. And our section, which are really the only hopeful verses in Lamentations, are deliberately put in the center of the book. They are intentionally the high point, even though the rest is not to be ignored. So we're going to read verses 16 to 33 to get a feel for how Jeremiah describes his hope. And we're going to look at 10 phrases in our text today. Number one, it's all gone. Verses 16 to 18. It's all gone. He has broken my teeth with gravel. This is God. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. And so I say, my splendor is gone and all that I hope for from the Lord. It's all gone. All these things have happened to me, says Jeremiah. He's putting in picture language. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. There's long-term disappointment here, people. Long-term disappointment. So, do you tell yourself things like that on some days? Jeremiah did. I hope for things from God, and they didn't happen, and it's too late. The stuff I missed along the way, that's not coming back. My splendor is gone, and all that I hoped for from the Lord. We have things like this that we tell ourselves on dark days. We might word it a bit differently. But that's how he says, I say. Okay, this is Jeremiah talking to himself. It's all gone, and it's too late. Number two, and basically all of Lamentations until that point has sounded like that. Yet this I call to mind, verses 13 to 21. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. This I call to mind. I remember all my troubles, says Jeremiah. I list everything that's gone wrong. I remember it all too well. It's not going away, and my soul is downcast. I am miserable and discouraged, for which he does not apologize. But he has something else. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. This I call to mind. Jeremiah calls something into his mind. This is a deliberate act of steering his mind in a different direction. People, I think this is really important. We get this kind of stuff in dark Psalms too. We cannot change very much about our situation. Sometimes a bit, but not a lot. And you can't change much about how we feel. But we have choice over what we tell ourselves. We have an amazing amount of choice over what we tell ourselves. And you don't have to keep telling yourself the same sorry stuff. You can't change your situation, and you can't change how you feel. But we can change what we tell ourselves. This I call to mind, and that gives me hope. We told God we put our trust in him, right? Did we not say to God we put our trust in him? Yes, we told him that. God never told us this would be easy. Then we may not leave our minds in hopeless discouragement. If we're going to say we trust in him, then we are obliged to call some things into our mind. That sort of went along with, if you don't want to trust him, then don't do this. But if we say we're going to trust in God, then we will, on dark days, call things into mind. It's a luxury. Because it will produce hope. Why would we not do it? No, we don't feel like doing it. We don't. I talk about this better than I do it. I do it often enough to know it works, and I fail often enough to know it's hard. Because of the God we have, there's a lot of hope. Use it. I'm not always very good at this, but it helps me often enough that I know what Jeremiah is talking about. I call stuff into mind, and it produces hope. Number three, because of the Lord's great love, in verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Great love translates the Hebrew word hesed, which we don't quite have a word for in English. It means loyal covenant love. In verse 32, we have the same word. It's twice in our text here in 22 and in 32. 32, it's called unfailing love. The ESV calls it steadfast love. God takes relationship agreements very seriously. If people want to be his children, they want him to be their God, and God makes those people his children, and they're genuine about it when they do it, he binds himself to them and to us. He loves through thick and thin. His compassion never fails, even if he decides to punish. Underneath is his great chesed, unfailing love. Chesed is like family love. Wives and husbands, parents and children, sisters and brothers. Every family has troubles. But in healthy family relationships, there's kindness and forgiveness and compassion. It doesn't always happen, but in a healthy relationship, it does. God loves us like that. We are his spouse. We are his children. His default position is kindness and forgiveness and compassion. That's because of who God is. That's just the kind of God that we have. That's his default position. That's chesed, steadfast family love. It never ceases. And because of it, we're still here. His compassions never fail. So now let's read this line. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. His compassion, Jeremiah knows, it's still acting in his life. This is verse 23. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. The hymn says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. That's not quite the way God said it. You may not see them. But there are... Oh, the time change caught up to the young Isaacs. We're glad to have you here. I'm going to carry on. They are new every morning. The hymn says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. We may not see the mercies, people, and some days we don't. But they're there every day. His mercies are new every day. And you know what? If you look, you actually may see some you might have missed otherwise. But in any case, this is a guarantee from God. There are new mercies every day. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, our inner person is renewed every day. And some days, that's hard to imagine. But it's true. Our inner person is renewed every day. God made Israel wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they rebelled against him. And even then, folks, he gave them manna every day. He led them to water every time they needed it. He always made sure their feet did not swell and their clothes did not wear out. Do you think he's doing less for you and me? Do you think he's doing any less for us? Not a chance. Count on it, people. There are new mercies from God every morning because his compassion never fails. Number 5, great is your faithfulness. His compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In our whole text, this is the only thing Jeremiah says directly to God. He's talked to himself here a number of times, for better and for worse. This is the only thing he says to God. Oh God, great is your faithfulness. Now, can you see a progression here? First, Jeremiah said, my splendor is gone, and all that I hope for from the Lord. And fawn. Hi. Nice to see you.
I know the time change. I just looked at the wrong clock.
I'm sure that counts. Anyway, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Okay. The first thing... he said, we're in Lamentations 3, verse 18 or so, my splendor is gone and all that I hope for from the Lord. And then he said, second, yet this I call to mind, and I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. And then he's actually ready to talk to God. Great is your faithfulness. All he's done is call something different into his mind, people. All he's done is call something different into his mind. Call these things to mind. Number 6. I say to myself, my portion is the Lord. In English we say, the Lord is my portion, but in Hebrew it's the other way around. My portion is the Lord. This began with priests. The Lord said to Aaron, you priests will have no inheritance in their land, in Israel's land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. So the rest of Israel inherited good, fertile land. That was their inheritance, but the priests got God. Because they were special. This is also true of the Levites. Moses said, that is why the Levites have no share or inheritance among their fellow Israelites. The Lord is their inheritance and their share, as he told them. So, people, imagine you're having a conversation with somebody else. What did you get in life? I got the Lord. What did you inherit? I inherited the Lord. When everything was divided up, what did you get? I got the Lord. When the pie was sliced, what was your slice of the pie? My slice was the Lord. I say to myself, my portion is the Lord. He's talking to himself. I say to myself. My portion is the Lord. Paul writes, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. I consider, I calculate, I do accounting, I consider everything. I consider the Lord. Everything is garbage. If I can know Christ, gain Christ, be joined to Christ. What do you get? What's your share? What's your inheritance? What are you getting in life? I got the Lord. My inheritance is the Lord. Jeremiah and Paul, folks, had both lost everything. This is not pie in the sky. This is how they encouraged themselves. Whether or not it works for you and me, this is how they encouraged themselves. And we are offered this to say ourselves. And listen, folks, God returns the favor. 25 times in the Old Testament, the Lord says, his people are his share, his inheritance, his portion. So you say to God, I get you. And God turned back and said to you, and I get you. My share is you. My slice of the pie is my people. My portion is my people. Of all the things God could consider, his inheritance, his treasure, it's his people. So, Jeremiah in Lamentations says, you are my portion. I say to myself, you are my portion. You're my share. You know, I've been chewing on this line more than any of these other 10 all week. What does that actually mean? And how do you get your hands on that? And I don't know. I'm fascinated by it. It takes a deeper kind of faith than I'm, or a different kind. But anyway, it's in there. And it's mentioned on both sides, from God to us and from us to him. Psalm 16 says, the Lord is my portion and my cup. The boundary lines have fallen pleasantly. Okay, they divided up your share, I got the Lord. Who could have a better property line than that? The Lord is my portion and my cup. So it's a different way of thinking about, it's a different way of packaging faith in God and loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Jeremiah's situation has not changed, but that's what he said. Okay, my portion is the Lord. Number 7, I will wait for him. I say to myself, my portion is the Lord, therefore I will wait for him. Why? The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. So Jeremiah's situation hasn't changed, but he's talking to himself about God and the big picture. He can even say, God, great is your faithfulness. So he's going to wait. He's going to wait. I say to myself, my portion is the Lord, therefore I will wait for him. He's still talking to himself. Why? Verse 25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Jeremiah knows if he hopes in God and seeks God, this is not over. God will reverse all that. God will be good to him. Because of the character of God, if we are seeking him and trusting him, this can only end well. And he knows it, and that's what he calls to mind. The Lord is good to all. And here, from verse 25 to the end, he's talking to the rest of us. Jeremiah has stopped talking to himself, and now he's preaching. Talk to all of us. The Lord is good to all of you who hope in him, to all of you who seek him. 8. So that's, I will wait for him. Number 8. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And I think, has that ever even been done? I put our hope, my hope in the Lord and I count on him, but wait quietly? Now we're talking about somebody else. It is good to wait quietly for the Lord. See, Jeremiah knows that if we're trusting in God, he's good. And deliverance will come. He's trying to remove some of the anxiety. He's saying, you could relax. You could relax. Because it's coming. It is good. The Lord is good to all who hope in Him, to all who seek in Him. So you could just wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. On Wednesday night, at our midweek Bible and prayer, Psalm 74 described the troubles of the faithful. And in Psalm 74, it had this line: none of us knows how long this will be. Which is true. And then early in Psalm 75, God says, I choose the appointed time. None of us knows how long this will be. God chooses the appointed time. We don't know, but we know He will rescue us and He will choose the appointed time. His compassions never fail. His great love never fails. His faithfulness never fails. So this is what Jeremiah is talking to himself and now to us. Now, I'm going to read verse 26 to 30. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. This is an older person speaking, an old servant of God. Jeremiah says, it is good for a man or a woman, while they're still young, to be put in a place where life goes against them, and their only hope is God. It's good for a man or a woman, when they're young, if life goes against them, and their only hope is the Lord. I didn't say that. Jeremiah says that. They suffer loss and disgrace while still young, and so they sit alone in silence, hoping God, seeking God, waiting for God to turn things around. We think that's terrible. You should be fun in the party time. When you're young, you know it's not true. That's only in television and movies, and it's not true in their lives either, but they can do it on the screen. But this is what Jeremiah thinks. And if you have had hard times in your young years where life went against you and you were disgraced and really all you had was to hope in God and seek in God, Jeremiah says, that was good. That's a good way to spend your youth. It's a new thought, isn't it? Listen. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Number 9. No one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is His unfailing love. This is the second time we have chesed. No one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. You can tell in this section that Jeremiah thinks we should not fight this so hard. There's a little bit of submit to the Babylonians here. Don't fight this so hard. You wouldn't have to. God brings grief and then He shows compassion. God brings grief, then He shows compassion. Submit to the Babylonians. The grief is hard enough and bad enough without anxiously fighting it. I don't know if I can do what Jeremiah is saying here, but he is saying it to all of us. Listen, if you find an easy way, a normal way to improve your situation, take it, use it. Like, he's not talking about that. But there's also a place to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. No one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is His unfailing love. Number 10, God does not afflict from His heart. The NIV says He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. But the Hebrew word heart is in there. The ESV has, the Lord does not afflict from His heart. Do you get this? When you have troubles, people, and they came from the Lord, His heart is not in it. His heart's not in it. God has His reasons. He will do what he does. When he brings grief or affliction, his heart is not in it. At some point, he's not enjoying this. He'll be glad when it's over. I saw my dad spank me, my brothers, periodically when his heart was not in it. When he was spanking me, I mostly wasn't thinking about his experience. I was thinking about my experience. But I know that happened when I watched. There were three of us fairly close together, and there were enough spankings. My dad did not always get that feeling, and he certainly never said anything like that. But sometimes it was pretty clear to me. He knows he needs to do this, but he wishes he did not need to do this. God does not afflict from the heart. He does not like this either. It is not time yet for deliverance, people. He knows it must go a little longer, but his heart is not in it. Al read a verse which I copied out, Jeremiah 31:20. Is not Ephraim my dear one, the child in whom I delight? Though I speak against him, I still remember him. My heart yearns for him. I will have compassion on him. So he will scold and punish, but his heart is not in it. He's not enjoying, folks, your grief or your affliction. It is all gone, what I hoped for. Yet this I call to mind and have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, so I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good to bear the yoke while we're young. Let us sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on us. Let us bury his face in the dust. There's hope. Let us offer our cheek to the one who would strike and be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. He does not afflict from his heart or bring grief to anyone from his heart. Will you stand while we pray? O God of Jeremiah, we hope in you, we seek you, we wait on you, we're counting on you. You, God, are our portion, our share, our inheritance. O God, all we really have is you. That's all we have. And we praise you for steadfast love, your unfailing love, for your compassions that are new every morning, for your great faithfulness and for your loyalty to us. Thank you that you are good to those who hope in you. Thank you that you do not afflict from the heart. Amen. You may be seated.